God really is good, isn't he? Amen. So glad to see you this morning on this beautifully white day. I was telling somebody in the earlier service, by way of encouragement, I said, think of it this way, Greg. I said, it's early November, so if it snows next spring, like it did this spring, November, December, January, February, March, April, that's 6 months. Of this. He said, if you're trying to encourage me, you're not. It's okay. God is good. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Father, we have just sung how great you are. And even in our darkest moments, your greatness has not changed. Your love for humanity has not and will not change. And so this morning, Heavenly Father, as we have gathered to worship you, some perhaps in this service, in other churches, and certainly some in society, are in their darkest hour. I pray, Heavenly Father, that by your Spirit, you would help them see the light and the hope that is ours in Jesus Christ. And I pray, Heavenly Father, by your Spirit and by your people, we would come alongside those that are carrying those burdens, and we would bear them as we're instructed in your word. I do thank you for veterans today. I do thank you for the men and women that have served this nation. I do thank you for this nation. I thank you, Father, for our newly elected leaders and all those that are reelected and everything else. We lift them all up to you and ask for divine intervention, and we ask, Heavenly Father, above all else, that your will is done. We need you, O Lord. We need you in our nation, in our government, in our churches, in our schools, in our factories, in our homes, in our individual lives. We need you in America, perhaps, Father, like never before, and certainly a long, long time. And so we invite your presence here this morning. We invite you by your Spirit to speak to ears. Use my mouth only as your words and voice. And help us in this church and congregations and churches that are gathering all over our communities, all over our nation, to bring you glory, because we're here to worship you. And so guide us now. Guide churches everywhere to lift up the name of Jesus and to bring you glory, O God. Help us to hear from you as we have come to worship you. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. The first thing I ask the earlier service this morning, two questions, excuse me, I have for you. How many of you that are sitting here today know of somebody that has committed suicide? That's what I thought. Quite a few. Quite a few. That's what I suspected. The second question I have for you this morning, how many of you have heard a sermon specifically or church leaders talk recently or perhaps at all about suicide? Raise your hands. Some of you have. Good, good. The response in the first service was similar, only there was actually quite a few more people in the first service that knew people that had committed suicide and less that had heard any sermon topic or anything on the matter in a church setting. I've chose this topic today not because it's easy, but because I felt that's what God would have me to share today. And so I humbly share with you, not even suggesting I know everything, but some things that I think might be helpful to the church. And I think that seeing how from the first service and this service, the amount of people that have known a family or have had a friend or an acquaintance or whatever else that has taken their life, that contrasted with the amount that has heard it addressed in the church, I would suggest it behooves us to think about that topic from time to time. Now, as church people and as pastors, there was several pastors here today. There's more than one or two of us here in the second service too. But as church people or pastors, we could use the excuse, well, I'm really not a counselor. I'm really not a professional that can really do much good. I'm going to give us some scripture today. You don't have to be a professional counselor to bear your brother and sisters or your neighbors or your coworkers or your family members' burden. And so let us not get the idea, well, I'm really not trained in that. But let us open our minds and simply say, if you can use me, Lord, then use me. I want to address this topic today and see, at least in my humble opinion, where the church fits in this topic. Let me give you a couple statistics. You know I like statistics. And I was online here a week or so ago under the American Foundation of Suicide Prevention. Suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in America today. The 10th leading cause. What does that translate to? That translates to 45,000 deaths a year by suicide, 6,000 plus of which are veterans. Some of them are carrying a heavy load. That statistic also translates to 123 suicide deaths per day. But here's something I did not know. Did you know there are 25 attempts for every one that goes all the way through with it? 25 attempts for one actual suicide. Did you know that? Anybody? No, I didn't either. That means there's 3,000 attempts per day in America. I was looking at the Johns Hopkins Medicine webpage the other day, and it has a ton of great, great information regarding what is teen suicide, what are the causes of teen suicide, what are the signs of teens at risk, what are the warning signs, what can we do? And it doesn't take pastors to identify that kind of stuff and be available to somebody that's hurting and carrying this burden. I know suicide's a hard topic. I get that. And a matter of fact, I looked in the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance just to make sure. I thought I knew in my mind, but I checked out the Strong's Exhaustive the other day. The word suicide isn't in the Word of God at all. Although suicide happened in the Word. And I've read articles these last 2 weeks in preparation for this and thinking about this. I've read articles, and some pastors would say very strongly this way. Some pastors would say very strongly this way. Some pastors would say very strongly about the eternal destination about suicide. Some would say very strongly this way. So there's all kinds of opinions. I concluded that much. And so I want to share with you not so much my opinion, but some facts in some scripture, and I hope some awareness to the matter. And I'm sure my brother here, I have two pastor brothers here today, I'm sure I am not alone when I say this. I have stood at the bedside of a dying veteran, terminally ill, racked with pain, so much so that in holding my hands, he whispers to me, "Pastor, is it okay to ask him for a little more and just end this all?" Whispered so as the family, so as to shield the family from his thoughts. my response was simply, let me pray for you, my brother. This was a solid believer. My response was simply, let me pray for you, my brother, and let God be God. I and some of you, pastors, law enforcement officials, and otherwise, have been with the person that is contemplating suicide, and we've needed to get them to the emergency room to have the medical people look at them and then to have the other professionals come in and do their assessment and do their thing. And I have sit there at some times for hours waiting, wondering what's happening up here. I, like other pastors here and then pastors in the first service, have done funerals for a lot. In my case, a lot of suicides of all ages. And I have stood and held the weeping mother over the suicide of her child, even though he was 30 years old or 20. And I have held the grieving wife as she grieved and had all kinds of questions and blame. And I simply was there to hold them and allow them to cry. And quite frankly, not having a clue what to say. And I have said at more than one funeral, as I started the funeral, to suicide victims. People think, you, pastor, should have those answers. Well, we don't have them all. I know who does, but I don't happen to have them all myself as to the whys of these things. I have read stories lately of pastors who committed suicide. Some of you have heard about the charismatic young pastor in California just in August who committed suicide. I don't know the whys. I just know the results. He's not the only one. He's not the only pastor that's actually committed suicide. He's not the only pastor's wife. I read a story just last week from World Magazine. It was called Left to Grieve. It was about a pastor and his wife. And the depression that she battled with was so crippling that she would be in these moments. And some of you know what I'm talking about. And some of you know people that know what I'm talking about. This depression, this darkness can come over you and overshadow you. And it just seems you can't break through it. She was battling that way and she was crippled by it. And they prayed over her over and over and over. And this went on for years. And she was on the depression medication. And her husband would tell her over and over and over, honey, we will get through it. And her reply would be to him over and over, do you promise? Oh, she would have good days. And she would maybe go get her hair done and feel normal, a little bit normal, and go get some groceries or whatever. And then she would have these dark days that just paralyzed her. And they would pray and they would cry out to God. And one day the pastor's in his study and she's at his home and she's supposed to be resting. And she disappears and he goes looking for her. And lo and behold, she went downtown, she bought a gun and she went in it at all. She was a pastor's wife. Mother of two, grandma of eight. And those of us, sometimes even in the church house, that don't understand suicide and don't understand depression and don't understand mental illness, we find ourselves wanting to blame something or somebody. Make excuses and like we've got all the answers and when in fact we don't. And I'm here to suggest to us, blaming when this happened is not going to help anybody. Way too often today we hear the term bullied. I went to country school a long time ago. And there were, in fact, people there you would quantify as bullies. But we just went and fought it out. But you don't get away with that no more. You go out by the swing set and just duke it out. Tired of them being bullied. Tired of me? I'm tired of being bullied. But today, bullying is very real. All kinds. In person, cyber bullying, all kinds. And to the child who comes home day after day after day, tormented in his spirit, tormented in his mind, beaten down verbally one more time, one more day, it seems easier just to end it all and be done with it. I'm here to suggest to you young people, suicide is not the answer, but I understand completely while some will feel that way. The torment on some of our children is endless. I don't understand that. It's like, anyway, I'll try to leave some of the editorializing out. The teasing on some of our kids, though, is pathetic. The bullying. And to some students, there seems like there's no other way out. I simply to ask us today as church people, where's the church? If we are aware of these situations at all, or we are aware of this family that has lost their child or their spouse or whatever it was to suicide, where's the church in coming alongside to bear one another's burdens? Where's the church when Jesus emphatically said to us over and over and over, love your neighbors as yourselves? To the veteran, 6,000 a year, 6,000 plus. To the veteran who can't get away from PTSD, the nightmares, the night sweats, the inability to cope with my wife and my kids anymore. It's not the same from when I left before I come back. I've been in this madness and I've been in this murdering and mayhem and killing and death. They can't cope and they're killing themselves 6,000 plus per year. Where's the church? How many know Rick Warren? Pastor Rick Warren? Some of you read the book, Purpose Driven Life, Purpose Driven Church. Some of you see his devotional, pretty popular guy, mega church pastor. He and Kay lost their son to suicide. Did you know that? Some of you did. Their son had been dealing with bipolar and major depressive order, ADHD, panicked attacks, since just a little boy, all this started. Well, you say, we could argue, we could say, well, pray for them. They did, hundreds of times. And Kay, Mrs. Warren, Rick's beloved, would take verses from Scripture and she'd put them in a box and she'd say, I'm clinging to these Scriptures, O God, on behalf of my Matthew. And he was tormented by all this stuff. And at 17, after being tormented with all these issues for years, at 17 years old, he comes to his mega pastor dad and he says to him, and I quote, Dad, it's obvious I ain't going to get better. Why can't I just go to heaven now? He was prayed over. He had hands laid on him. His parents cried out to God over and over and over. And Kay writes in part of her writings, Her prayer was, Lord, heal him or carry him through. Have mercy on our child. Their son died anyway. The Warrens didn't blame God. You can read their account. They've talked about it. And the verses that they clung to these verses in hopes that God would intervene and outright heal. And he can and he does. You heard Salek here 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. God is still in the healing business, amen? And when their Matthew died, Kay just concluded that those verses that she had been clinging to, and I quote, she said, it is not that those verses weren't true. They just weren't true for our Matthew. And one of the questions, our time is running out, I'm not going to have time to, I'm going to have to abbreviate, but one of the questions that we wrestle with when we're struggling and we're bearing these burdens and we're in despair and the darkness of life has overshadowed us, we wonder, where are you, Lord? But I would suggest to us, friends, never give up on seeking the Lord. Over and over and over, as our praise team leads us in that one song, I don't remember the name of it, I didn't ask them, but they stop partway through and they read from Matthew 11:28 that says, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's the words of Jesus. The NIV uses the word heavy burdened. All of you that are heavy burdened. And I would simply suggest that is our starting point as pastors and as church people, to point people to the one who can deal with the heavy burdens in life. That is our starting point. Yes, they may need to see medical professionals and psychologists or psychiatrists. They may need a chemical balance of a medication. That's not my field. But we in the church need to be pointing people to the one that can bear with them the burden. So we ask the question, where's God? He's right where he always was. Have we introduced them to him? Have we trusted him completely? I've read a fair amount about suicide lately, and sometimes words like selfish and cowardly and wrong get thrown around. Let me just say, that's not helpful. And so, in the last few minutes, my time is so quickly going away. In the last few minutes, let me offer some hope through Scripture that I trust as Jesus' followers. We remember the next time that we encounter a family, many of us know them already, but I trust that I'm going to give us some scriptures that we'll remember as we encounter these families or we encounter these difficult situations, know someone that's in these pain, these verses might come to mind, and we might be reminded to be used of God, by God, to help bear our neighbor's burdens. And I want to offer this to those of you that are carrying that burden today and struggling, and the burden seems too heavy to bear, cry out to Jesus. Cry out to Jesus. I don't mean a head knowledge about Jesus. I mean give your heart, soul, and life to him completely. Eternity depends upon it, and maybe tomorrow does also. Exodus chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. Very interesting verses, and I'll tell you why I'm reading them. I think you know the setting. I don't have time to explain it. You recall the burning bush, do you not, brothers and sisters? Burning bush, give me one of these, yeah? If you don't know the burning bush, it's going to take us a lot longer because I'm going to have to tell that story. Burning bush, you know, Jesus, God, Sermon on the Mount. Yeah, on the Mount, burning bush, he encounters God. God is asking Moses to go back and lead the people out of Israel. You remember the story, okay? They're having this conversation. God and Moses, burning bush. I think you know the story. Well, Moses is coming up with an excuse or two why he can't be used by God. And we get to Exodus chapter 4, verse 10, and I'll tell you the reason I'm reading these verses in just a moment. Then Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and I have slow of tongue. Apparently, it was in fact a fact that he wasn't the most polished orator in the sheepfold that day. Apparently, that is true. So I guess you could say he had a legitimate complaint. I really can't speak after all, Lord. I surely can't speak in front of people and they're going to listen to me anyway. Now listen to the reply of God. Verse 11. So the Lord said to him, Who has made man's mouth? Now look at very closely. We had a blind pastor in the first service. And another pastor that's suffering greatly with physical challenges that needs open heart surgery very, very soon, and he's already lost a leg. Listen to the voice of God when he said, Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? That's what he said. Now we could dialogue about this. We don't have time. I mean, I got all day, but I'm sure you don't have all day. Well, we could dialogue about, is this by divine decree or is this just allowed? Kind of thinking about the whole Job thing. What does he mean? I think it means what he said. When he said, Who makes the mute, the deaf, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now, I read these verses because the pastor that lost his wife was reading those verses some months after he lost his beloved. And it's like, as I read the story, he said, It's like the Lord spoke to me. I'm reading these words, and I've read it 100 times, and it's like the Lord spoke to me this time. And he said, I looked to the Lord, and I said, Lord, who has made the depressed? Because his wife took her own life because of depression. And then he said, Lord, do you take responsibility for my wife and her illness? And the pastor then writes in his story, I sense God challenging me with 2 questions. He didn't speak to me audibly, but I sense this profound question. And the first one is, after I ask him, do you take responsibility for my wife's death and her depression? He said to him, am I sovereign? God asked him, yes, Lord. I know you're sovereign. And then the Lord impressed strongly upon this pastor's heart who had lost his wife to suicide. Am I good? And the pastor wrestled with that for a moment, knowing what he'd just been through, losing his wife and all. But he bowed in humility before the Lord and he said, yes, Lord, you are good. And brothers and sisters, I am here to tell you today, in spite of our pain and the heaviness of life, the answer to both is yes. He is sovereign. He is still good. Our circumstances may change, and we may get dealt a bad hand. Again, we could go into the divine decree or the allowance. We do have an enemy after all. John 10 and 10, remember? The thief came to kill and steal and destroy. That's Jesus talking about the devil. So we could talk all day about, is this divine decree or is this allowed? But the fact of the matter is, God is sovereign. God is good. And we need to turn to Him and trust Him at all cost. Galatians 6:2. I'll try to be really brief. Time's up. I wanted to say two things, two more verses, though, because they're verses that will be helpful to you when you encounter that person or that family that's already been through it or that's facing it. Galatians 6:2, Paul is saying to the church, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law. What law is that you are talking about, you might ask? Oh, Paul, the law to love your neighbor as yourself. When we as believers see the burdened brother, sister, co-worker, neighbor, biological family, when we as believers see the burdened, we are obligated to come alongside and bear it with them. That is Scripture. Bear each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And Luke 10:27. I could speak a lot, talk a lot, about, a little more about this too, but you know the Good Samaritan story. And Luke 10:27, Jesus answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he then embarks on explaining to the questioner, who is in fact my neighbor? Whoever happens to have a burden that we come in contact with is one of our neighbors. And it isn't just for pastors. There's three of us here that I know of. There was four of us in the first service. It isn't just for pastors to bear up one another's burdens. It's not just for pastors to love the unlovely. It is for the church to bear one another's burdens and love our neighbors as ourselves. And so I'll close with this. I simply ask us in the church today, do we care enough about our fellow man to point them to Christ? Not only is this difficulty they find themselves in at stake, but eternity is at stake. Do we in the church care enough to point people to the Messiah, to the Savior, to Jesus? Are we just too busy? Do we care enough about our burden-bearing brothers and sisters and co-workers and neighbors to come alongside and bear their burden with them? Do we care enough to give somebody the time of day? Maybe a word of Scripture, maybe a prayer, maybe a hug, maybe some encouragement, maybe something like this, just to tell them, like I got to tell somebody who was burdened this week, God loves you. Not to mention Jeremiah, what he said, and God said in the book of Jeremiah, I know the plans that I have for you, you know the verse, plans to prosper you. Certainly, you could come up with a verse or two when God puts this burdened person in your path. 45,000 suicides a year. I simply ask, is there something we in the church can do in loving our neighbors and bearing our burdens, pointing people to Christ? Desperate people do desperate things. I get it. I've been around it. Maybe we in the church can help. bear these burdens in a little way, maybe in a large way, in pointing people to Christ and simply offering to them to lay their burdens at the cross of Christ. With the first scripture that I mentioned, it's just so good. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest. Maybe that's where we start. I simply ask us this morning, can we in the church be available to be used by God when He puts somebody with a burden in our path? Let's bow our heads in prayer. And with our heads bowed this morning and our eyes closed, I want you to think of these two things. Number one, have I got a burden that I need to lay down at the cross of Calvary and Jesus? And if that's the case, friends, lay it down. Call upon the name of Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior. And if there's this weight, this backpack full of bricks, lay it down at the cross. And for the rest of us, I simply ask you to commit, when God puts someone in your path that has a burden, to be there for them. Let's pray. God, our Father, thank you for loving us the way you do. Thank you that your word reminds us of these truths. We can take our burdens to Christ. Thank you that we can cast all our cares upon him because he cares for us. Thank you, Father, for your Spirit. Guide us. Guide that person, those persons that are here today, feeling like I got this backpack, I got this weight, I got this burden, I can't do it much longer. Father, help them to release it to you. Father, will you touch them in a special way? Will you touch them in a healing way? Will you touch them in a powerful way that weightiness, that darkness, that burden is gone in Jesus' name? And Father, for the rest of us that make up your people, not just in this congregation, but your people, help us to be aware there are others bearing burdens. Help us to love them, to come alongside them, encourage them or whatever, but when you put them in our path, Father, help us not to look the other way. We could have talked a lot longer about the Good Samaritan, the priest and the rabbi. Well, they just went around, the Levite, they just went by the other way. Use your people, O God. Yes, us as pastors, but your people to see the burdens that people are bearing and come alongside and love them. Love them into the kingdom. Love them for some encouragement. Love them, Father, for just doing the next day. Be glorified in your church, O God. Help us to get home safely. Watch over us this week in the slippery conditions or whatever. May you be glorified. May we be available to you. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.